Oh, man. This is exciting today. If you come to our house, in fact, we would invite you up there anytime you want. We have a really bad driveway, so if it's right about this time of year, you may get muddy and dirty. But besides that, if you come in the summer up on West Main Hill, you'll notice that on the farther section, as you go up the hill, you will see two rows of grapevines. I mean, they're about 70 feet long, and they're probably, I don't know, eight feet in between them, and there's posts there, and apparently someone in the past must have worked at Werner's, because it's we have the Werner ladder, little style, what are those, plastic strut things hanging out there. I'm not sure how they ended up there, but that's just the way it has been since we have been there, and you'll be amazed by them. You'll be amazed because it is a wonderful, bushy, green hedge of grape leaves. I'm sure if we wanted to eat those, there would be plenty of those. But the reality of it has become much more of a privacy fence. Our grapes are amazingly unproductive. We get a smattering of grapes at most, but most of the time they fall off or brown up long before the harvest. In fact, a couple of years ago, Rich Miller had a friend that was doing something with grapes, and he said, "Do you have any grapes?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, I just said, "Come on up, you can get as many as you want." And by the time he came up, there was nothing there. He just sort of walked down and looked under all the leaves, and literally there were some beautiful leaves, but no grapes. And so when I read this in the scripture, and maybe it's because I grew up with Ranger Rick and sort of all those types of things, I'm fascinated by nature and plants and growth, but I'm not a gardener. In fact, when I look at my grape plants or the vines that are there, at this point in my life, I neither have the knowledge nor the inclination to jump into that project right now. There are all so many other things that need to get done, and I do like the privacy screen that I have. It's cheap and effective. If you drive up in the summer, you can't even tell we're in the side yard. It's not a bad thing. And I have not pruned them very well. In fact, I was telling the first service a couple of years ago, I believe someone in the congregation told me that if you're going to have really pretty grapevines, you need to just have sort of the root system that's there, and then just one little branch that comes up, and then that'll break off, and you sort of put that branch or two on the guide wires that are there, and at the end of the summer, you'll have this amazing clump of grapes. I was thinking Old Testament. Joyce and I would have a stick, and there'd be just a clump between the two of us. That's what I was hoping for. And so I did begin just a little bit. I tried to prune it one day. It was in the winter where I couldn't do any damage to it, and I did that for about a half hour, and I looked out and realized there was a whole much more to go. And did you know that you can prune grapes with a chainsaw? They said you just need to cut it off level, and I cut off the one side really, really level, thinking that that would give us just one little bunch. It didn't work out that way. I didn't prune them well. But again, as I read this scripture, it sort of jumps out at me because Jesus is giving us some amazing truth that each of us here can understand, or at least I'm hoping that we will. What does it say there? Jesus tells something about himself, but he talks to us about what his Father is like. And he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." Do you see the picture that Jesus is trying to communicate? As followers of Jesus, he is literally our root, our vine, our central stem, and everything literally flows out of him and into us. And if you look at the scriptures in more depth, the idea that Jesus was trying to communicate here was just very literally that we have a root that we are grafted into. We are a part of Jesus Christ. We are a part of that vine. Just imagine if we began to believe that wholly in our hearts, that Jesus and I are connected, Jesus and you are connected. Then he goes farther than that and he says, we have a gardener, a master gardener who is at work within us each and every day, and he's nothing like me. Jesus is never going to come into your life with a chainsaw. That's just not the way he does things. He has knowledge, and he has the inclination and the desire to make us into a productive vineyard. He literally says in this passage of scripture right here that he wants us to be plants that produce on purpose, premier grapes. For some of you who may have a hard time imagining that, how many of you today we're going to be using Welch's grape juice? I believe that's the kind that we bought. But when I was growing up as a little boy, if we wanted to be really, really special at home or even at church, we would use Welch's white grape juice. Remember? Because that is the more fancy type of thing. Do you realize that Jesus is literally saying, I have a father who wants to be your gardener to produce premier grapes. He wants to do it in such a way that you will be amazed. So think of that for just a few seconds. It's amazing news. You and I, as followers of Christ, are grafted into Jesus himself. And we have a heavenly Father that has designed us and made us and knows us and delights in us and understands us from the start to the beginning. He knows your joys and your heartaches. He knows the things you're good at and the things that you really can't do very well. He knows the secrets that you keep in your heart of hearts and still longs to work in you and on you to make you into the person you were designed to be. He is an amazing vine dresser. That means that God is actively at work in you and on you continually because he longs to make you into the person that he's designed you to be. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that a truth? Maybe you guys don't get excited about that, but it's mind-boggling to me that the God that created all of this tremendous stuff looks at us as individuals and calls us by name and knows exactly who we are and designs us with purpose and meaning. There's no randomness to God's work. And he's working daily. He's literally about making us healthy and fruitful moment by moment and day by day. And the scripture is really clear there. He, in the midst of this process, he cuts off every branch that bears no fruit, and he prunes the ones that do. So he's basically saying, as followers of Christ, you need to recognize that God is going to be doing maybe some uncomfortable things for you. But if you were to come and look at my vines, even this day, if you were to come up, there's no leaves on them now, and there's lots and lots of branches. And they're going everywhere. And if you were to come up in the summer, you would see lots and lots of leaves, but you won't see any grapes. And as I think about that, have you ever noticed that we as a people can be involved with lots and lots of stuff? We can be involved with lots and lots of good stuff even. And yet at the end of the day, it really doesn't produce anything of value and purpose in our lives. In fact, a number of years ago, there was a book that came out called Being Entertained to Death. It's sort of the American culture where we are continually looking for something to excite us. But all of the things that we so often are involved in, at the end of the day, there's just not a lot of fruit there. And so Jesus says there are going to be some times when God gets involved and there are some things we simply need to let go of. And so he talks about pruning every branch that bears some fruit and cutting off the ones that don't. And so as I was thinking about that, we often, again, because we're in the church and we have a tendency to spiritualize a lot of things, you wonder how Jesus prunes. How does the master gardener begin to prune our hearts and our minds and our lives? And as I look at my own life, I look at the situations that you find yourself in. Have you ever found yourself in a place where it just seems overwhelmingly impossible? Or you're not quite sure what the future is going to hold, or things are going well and the plan is purposely working out. That's how God often works, through circumstances and through situations. For some of us, it's through when we look at the Word of God and we begin to take it as something that we want to learn and grow in the habit of doing. That's often how God works, at least within my life. But why would God want to do that? Why would God want us to grow and mature and to become the people that he's designed us to be? He just says, because I want my people to be fruitful. I want them to be purposeful. And as I was thinking about that, okay, God's going to prune me. He's going to change me through circumstance and situations. He's going to let me grow and mature as a person. He wants me to be more and more fruitful. And as I thought about that, for a lot of us, especially if you're a pastor, when you read this verse, you have a tendency to figure out, well, if I'm going to be more fruitful, that means that there's going to be more numbers. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about having more numbers or having more conversions or having more responsibility. And that may be a small part of it. But I don't think this passage was written for pastors. I think it was written for people like us. So what is this idea about being more fruitful? And so one of the things that happened to me this week, and maybe it happens to you every so often, have you ever had a duh moment like, aha? Now, some of you have, because you said, you shook your head when I said that. You know what it's like. So I just simply was studying and praying through this and looking at some sort of different resources, and I thought, well, what is this fruit that he's talking about there? What am I supposed to be bearing more of? And God sort of whispered in my ear, Nathan, Galatians 5:22. In fact, he told me the fruit of the Spirit first, because I have a hard time memorizing those types of passages as far as the Galatians 5:22 part, but it eventually came. But do you know what the fruit of the Spirit is? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He says, these are what I want my people, you and I, to be more fruitful in. That's the fruit when you begin to live out those ideals, those characteristics of myself. When you become a useful kingdom person, those are the things that are going to capture people's hearts and minds. Those are the things that are going to give you purpose as a follower of Christ. So I look at this passage and I hear that I'm part of the vine of Jesus Christ, and I have a Father in heaven who's the gardener, and he wants me to be a person that's growing to be a more useful person in his kingdom. But then he said, there's a warning here. So God says, I want you to be fruitful. I want you to grow in those characteristics. I want you to be a people that expand your idea and living out love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. But he says, in the midst of that, you need to be aware of something. He said, if you're going to experience those things, you need to be a people that remain. What does it say in verse 4? He says, I want you to remain in me. And he says, when we begin to remain in him, he will remain in us. So if we're going to be the people that God longs for us to be, if we're going to be the people that are fruitful in our lives and in our homes and in our careers and in our circumstances, we are called to be a people that remain. And Jesus is saying, and that's a possibility, you can remain. But you also need to recognize, if he says something like that, there's a possibility that you can walk away. Sort of prone to wander type of things. And I learned this, I knew it came from a hymn. It's from Come Thou Fount of Blessing, an amazing song that talks about a pastor who wanders away and then comes back later. How many of you have ever seen that verse in the Bible that says that we are called to be people that flap our arms till we fly? Okay, no one raised their hand. That would have been really awkward. There is no verse that says Christians are to flap their wings. See, some of you are going, where is that? I know it. I mean, I've heard it someplace. It must be in there. No, we're not birds. So Jesus is never going to tell us to do something that we can't possibly do. But he tells us here, I want my people to remain, which means we do have the option of wandering off and going our own way and doing our own things. And he's saying, I don't want my people to do that. I want them to stick onto the vine. I want you to hold on to who I am. And if you will do that, you will begin to see that fruit. He says, don't wander off. And it is so easy for us to wander off, isn't it? This last week I was thinking about that, and they say in Scripture over and over again, you know, the sheep wander off and the one that left the herd. And do you know how sheep do that? It's really interesting because I've even studied that type of thing. Sheep wander off because they're just in that field there and they see a nice clump of grass and they go over to it and they eat that for a while and look up and see another one and they go there and they look up and see another one and they go there. And by the end of the day, they've wandered out of the field and they're in the canyons and they have no clue where they're at. You know, we can do that also. We say we're going to remain, and then, you know, something good happens, or something exciting goes over there, or we just decide, you know, we don't need to read the scripture, or be obedient, or follow after him, and by the weeks and the days and the months continue till we find that place where it seems as if God isn't around us. So he says, remain. If you were here last week, you saw what that looks like in a very practical way. If you weren't here last week, it was Easter service, and we had done all the things, and Trent and I had checked the batteries, and it all worked out perfectly, and I got up here, got through announcements, it worked perfectly. When I got up to preach, all of a sudden I went, nothing. It just died. The battery died, and so I just continued and had no clue. This is called great situational awareness. Eventually, I felt a tugging on my pants, and it was Dan. And he was changing the battery out, and as he was doing that and looking for the things, he said, now, Nathan, he said, stand still. And I said, and then I took a step. And it was like, sometimes remaining is being obedient. I don't know why. As soon as he said stand still, I was like, I'm going to take a step now. I don't know. Speaks to my own heart. So how do you remain? How do you be part of the vine and don't wander off? I think some of it is just a sense of obedience. You know when God begins to speak to you that you need to make some choices, clearly. You know when you read the Word of God, and even today as you're looking through this, and I hope you'll take some time this week to examine it and remember the truth. He is the vine. I am grafted into that vine. I have a master gardener that's working on me even at this moment. What am I going to do? So part of remaining in God is simply being a person of obedience. When you begin to look at the scripture, you begin to ask those simple questions. Who's talking? What is it saying? Is there an issue or something that needs to be dealt with in my own life? What do I need to work on here? Maybe it's, how do I need to repent? And that idea is literally just turning around. I've been going my own way, doing my own thing, and God is saying, no, I want you back here. Come on back. Have you ever gotten to that place where you honestly just simply come before God and say, Lord, would you assess where you're at, where I'm at right now? What's going on in my heart and my mind? Is there anything in my life right now that you want to deal with? Am I aligned with Jesus, basically? Something that we don't often talk about, but I think God is calling us to be a people that ask that question. Yesterday, as Joyce and I drove up to Erie, it was an amazing thing. We'd gone out. We were going a little over the speed limit, and we passed this Jeep. It was a Jeep Wrangler. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen on the highway, because he was going probably about 50 or 60, and about 70 or so, I think the tie rod went on the one front tire, and that front wheel was like jumping up at probably a foot and a half. It was the coolest thing. Joyce, move over and let's watch. You know, that was sort of the response. You know, the alignment wasn't there, but he finally slowed down and got back the way he should have. But the amazing thing is, if you would come before God this morning and say, am I in alignment with you? You will know. Because that's just simply the way God works. This isn't a mystery here. So maybe this morning before the Lord's Supper, you come before God and say, Father, am I in alignment with you? Remaining with God is taking the time to pray. Literally means staying close. Remaining in God literally means, I think it's John O'Malley that says every so often, start where you want to end. So my question today is, do you want to be a person that's fruitful? Do you want to be a person that lives out what God has designed you to be? And this isn't an occupational type of thing. It's the person that God desires you to be. So for the next few moments before we take the Lord's Supper, and I truly believe that he is the vine and we're part of that engrafted root, I truly believe that we have a God that is actively involved in our hearts and minds and lives every single day. So let me ask you some questions. Are you remaining in the vine? Again, if you're honest with yourself, that's a yes or no question. This isn't hard. You know exactly where you're at this very moment. Maybe you've never even thought that Jesus would want you part of his vine, and yet he says, all who come to me and ask, the door is open. So are you remaining in the vine? Are you bearing fruit in this season in life? Do you realize there's seasons in life where God seems to be more actively involved than at other times? Are you bearing fruit? Can you look back on those lists that, you know, gentleness and kindness and self-control, all of those things, are you growing some fruit in that area? Can you look at your circumstances and recognize that God is pruning? And maybe he's going to take away some things, or maybe he's going to add some things, or maybe he's just telling you to be still. I guess that question is, are you submitting to God's design and purpose for you at this very moment? And the reality is, for some of us who are sitting here today, those questions you can answer, but maybe the bigger question to answer is, are you willing to be fruitful? Because sometimes you don't want to do it. I knew when I was growing up, at 17, I knew that God had called into ministry. I took the last 18, 19, 20, 21, 4 and 5 years of that period, running from that call as quickly as I could. If you know my story, I when I asked Joyce to marry me, I told her I'd be a millionaire by my late 30s. And she fell for that. No. I've apologized since. But see, I wasn't willing to allow God to make me fruitful. So you may be sitting there today thinking, you know what, I'm just not sure if I can trust God. Or I don't want to be part of his vine. Could you honestly answer that question? And lastly, how are you going to respond to this message? What steps do you need to take? I mean, in a few seconds, we're going to be enjoying the Lord's Supper together, the symbol and the promise that God is a God who pursues. This is my body broken for you. Take this in remembrance of me. This is my blood poured out for you. This is the forgiveness of sins. How furiously awesome is our God's love. It just seems to me at the end of our lives, I would rather be known as a person that was fruitful than just a big green privacy bush. Let's pray. Father, we come before you, and I've left some questions for your people to answer right now. I've been wrestling through them myself. And Father, we're asking for the next few moments, before we take the Lord's Supper, as the elements are passed out, the body and the blood, Father, would you give us the courage to answer these questions? Some may not even be part of the vine, but Lord, tell them that it begins with a relationship. Father, would you forgive me and come into my life? Would you be my master gardener? Because I can't do it on my own. Some of us have been running for you for so long, it's just a normal course of events. I ask in the name of Christ that you would not stop pursuing us. Some of us are beginning to experience what it is to be fruitful, to be the people that you've designed us to be, and we are overwhelmed by grace. We don't understand why or how, but we know that you remain in us. Would you minister to your people now? In Jesus' name, amen.